It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails and blog comments. We talked last week about the U.S. Army's retention problems. Many young officers are leaving the military, often for better pay, better hours, or both. Louise emailed us from Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and says she can relate. My husband is a major in the Army, currently stationed at Fort Leavenworth, having served nearly 16 years to date. He served two tours in Iraq and now serves in a position where he's away from home on temporary duty approximately two-thirds of the time. Even though he's just short of 5 years from retirement, we've talked about him leaving for a more lucrative and family-friendly opportunity in the private sector. Many of you also wrote in about our show on identity politics and whether or not it should play a role in how you cast your vote. Ricky, a listener in Boston, argues it's hard to avoid identity politics in this campaign. The historic nature of this election, especially considering the Democratic nominees, complicates the question of identity politics. As a black man, I will vote for Barack or Hillary simply for the historic value of such a vote as an appeal to the identification with change, an appeal to the idea that black men and women are not prohibited from holding the office of president, and not necessarily the identification with a surface feature of the candidates. Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson joined us last Thursday for one of her regular visits and vented about pet peeves, as did many of you. I have to email you, lest the loud-chewing, coffee-slurping, daily nail-clipping, throat-clearing, phone-mumbling, wifey-lovey-dovey, phone-talking guy in the cubicle next to me hears my comments, complained John in Massachusetts. And the torturous thing about these habits is they are timed at the exact intervals each and every day. And many of you had the same complaint. People who take up more than one parking space in crowded lots. Another listener offered a suggestion for that. My brother invented a great solution for this, which is usually caused by someone who demands the extra room around their car to protect it. He would just leave a note under their windshield that said, "Sorry about the scratch," and let the person drive themselves crazy trying to find the damage. That email from Mark. And finally, Tony emailed us from Oregon to ask, "Do you have a podcast I can replay because my annoying coworkers were talking so loud I only heard small bits of the discussion?" And yes, we do, is the answer. You can find our podcasts by going to npr.org/talk. Starting today, each hour of the show is available as a separate podcast, so you can download and listen to just the programs you missed or the ones you want to hear again. All the details on how to download each day's podcast are at npr.org/talk. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. The technical director of Talk of the Nation is Drew Reynolds. He gets engineering help from John Widoff and Jerry Tennant. Our theme music was composed by Greg Smith. Our senior producer is Scott Cameron. Sue Goodwin is the executive producer. The director of afternoon programs is Richard Harris. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.